So I left teaching and came into doing community work, as Mike said, with an organisation called the People's Association. I had a friend who was working for the Notting Hill Housing Trust who'd alerted me to the fact that there was this job going as a community worker with this left-wing organisation, community organisation in the sort of Colville Tavistock area of North Kent. And I think I probably was the only applicant for the job, actually. But anyway, we'll gloss over that one. and so I started to work with them with children under five, which actually I hadn't had any experience of. I mean, I'd worked with 7 to 11 year olds, and they were running playgroups as well as doing work with housing and claimants' union and squatting families and, you know, a whole range of... And so so I started working with these playgroups as a community worker, and then thought, you know what, listening to parents and seeing, stepping back and seeing how people were struggling, people who wanted to work, people who wanted to study but couldn't because there wasn't the childcare available. But I guess as a teacher, or an ex-teacher by that stage, I thought, well, actually, you don't want to just have a day nursery. You want to have something which has got education for under fives as a central part of this. And then realised, actually, there wasn't anything like that that I could find in the country at that stage. And I guess we're talking about 1970, 71. There was a huge amount of poverty. In North Kensington then was nothing like it is now in large... Well, not the bit that I worked in, which I suppose was the Colville, Tavistock, Portobello side of Ladbroke Grove. I mean, there was massive poverty. There was a huge demarcation line at sort of Ladbroke Gardens, which actually is, funny enough, was where I lived. I had a flat. Going northwards... Suddenly there was this massive divide. So you've got these huge houses with very wealthy, very, very wealthy people. And then suddenly you've got extreme poverty and people struggling, a lot of crime, a lot of prostitution, a lot of drug addiction, a lot of selling drugs quite openly on the street. The Notting Hill Housing Trust had been around, I can't remember for how long, Mike, but they were certainly there when I...
It was formed around 1966 or 67, I think, wasn't it?
I think so. Certainly by the time I became involved, and that had come about, the Housing Trust had been born, as it were, out of the backlash of all the stuff around Rachmanism and people being evicted from properties. And so I suppose out of all of that, you know, it's about listening to people and being observant, and as a community worker, you know, people's stories of, you know, extreme poverty, depression, struggling with their children, wanting to be, desperately to be good parents, but it's not always easy actually being good parents. Children can be quite hard work, and there was a lot of single parents, both men and women, but I guess mostly women. And all of those people were in some form of social housing or council properties. And it was trying to set up something that met their needs and needs of those children is, I think, initially what gave rise to Colville Nursery Centre, which was in Housing Trust property, and then out of that came Maxilla. The survey was the first part of the campaign, yeah. I think, and yeah. We asked Anne Holmes if she'd, who was somebody who'd had lived and worked in North Kensington, subsequently became a Labour Party candidate several times, actually.
Yeah. She organised the survey.
She organised the survey because she had a lot of experience. Yeah. She worked for the architecture. Yeah,
yes,
she was, and then she trained up local people, local parents, to do what you're doing, actually to ask the questions. So that was a very good way. You know, they came in at the beginning. You've come in at the end of Maxilla's life. They were there at the beginning, and I think for them that was, they'd never done something like this before, and that was a tremendous, it was very different for them, and they felt that they made a massive contribution to the launch of the
Yes, I think now I'm remembering seeing the results of the survey come in, which must have been that it was then in that sort of 73.
Well, I can tell you exactly when it was. The survey was finished in 1974 because I had just had Daniel.
Of course,
and he was born in July 74. And every time he stopped screaming, which wasn't very often.
So there's a good fix on the time, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I would unroll all this paper and map out by hand in those days, of course, all the responses to the survey. So the survey would have taken place in the early part of 1974, or mid of 74, yeah. And I, by the July, the data was in, and I was transcribing it, going through all the questionnaires.
And you got me involved because there was one of the first public meetings, and I think it was in 72, and you asked me to get involved because I was working as a journalist and as a researcher, and you thought I'd be able to write a press release for you.
I did.
So I did that. And then you got me to come to the meeting, and then...
I did.
And then you said, why didn't you take the minutes of the meeting?
Slowly, slowly catching monkeys.
And I was hauled in this campaign, but I hadn't any experience or involvement with it before then. And so the campaign somehow gathered force and evidence during those years, 1972, 1973, 74.
Yes.
And you were also meeting kind of council officers in the borough and in the Inner London Education Authority during that time as well.
Definitely, because I actually finished off the Urban Aid application when I was in hospital, having just had Daniel. Right. So we were already raising the money. It is in terms of a timeline, it didn't start with A, B, C, D. You actually jumped back and forwards. Uh-huh. Actually, it was zigzagging. Mm-hmm. Actually, in terms of needing, you know, negotiations about teachers' contracts, mm-hmm. Working with the ILEA in terms of getting them on board, and architects and builders and.
So, the other thing then is you mentioned the Parents' Centre. We ought to say something about Colin Lowndes and who came through with the crucial funding to fund the Parents' Centre. So the ILEA agreed to fund a school and run a school. The borough agreed to go for the Urban Aid money, which funded the under-fives.
Under-threes.
And then it was essential to us, as Judy was just saying, there should be a Parents' Centre there. And we couldn't see where that money was going to come from.
And we got that thanks to the ILEA, in fact, because Lowndes had... Had been in contact with the Inner London Education Authority, and he had a daughter, Vanessa, who's was born very partially sighted, and he'd got it into his head that if he gave the Inner London, if he part funded a nursery school, then perhaps Vanessa could actually have a job in that nursery school. And they had to say, well, it doesn't work like that. However, there is this project that we are very interested in and we are going to be heavily involved in, and they happen to be looking for £50,000. I mean, this is peanuts nowadays, isn't it? £50,000 capital to build this parents' centre. And Colin was already very interested in something called the Toy Libraries Association, where you loan out, you know, toys to... good toys, not plastic ones, to children. So he'd already had some knowledge of, you know, of under fives. And that's how it came about. He produced, you know, after various amusing stories.
You've got to tell the story about the blue Rolls Royce, Judy.
I was very pregnant with Daniel. It was a very hot day, and it was the 9th of July, 1974, and I had agreed to meet Colin Lowndes underneath the motorway, which is, as you know, is called Maxilla Gardens. Well, I think he thought it was like Kew Gardens or something. Well, of course, it was something like Kew Gardens. It was under a motorway. He'd never been before. It was a sea of concrete, and there was this dead donkey lying in the middle of the ground in this sort of like a cesspit, like a pool of water. It was awful. And he arrived in this chauffeur-driven powder blue Rolls Royce. I thought, I don't believe this. And we started to talk, and it was just him, me, and he looked a bit flustered, and he clearly didn't expect this area to be as it was. And he started to wander off, to my slight horror. And I said, "Mr. Lowndes, I'm going to be going on maternity leave for 3 months, and I need to be able to tell West Greenwich Association, you know, they need to know while I'm away." And he looked at me and he said, "When's the baby due?" And I said, "Oh, 3 days ago," which is how I know the date. And he said, "Oh, you can have the money." Wandered back to his powder blue Rolls Royce, and off he went. And I had Daniel the next day. Went into hospital that night. And
I made the nursery centre possible.
And that made the nursery centre possible. So, yeah, I mean, that's... sometimes just being lucky and being in the right place and the right person at the right time is... And also having the right story to tell, you know, right.
Yeah, and he went on being very helpful for years.
And Vanessa remained... And she did come and work. She actually ran... In fact, she was the best person who ever ran the Toy Library, actually. Mm. She worked in the Toy Library... She's a couple of years older than me, so she's in her early 70s now, and she and I see each other all the time. So we've remained really good friends, and she's absolutely a woman with her own mind. So I think if Colin never thought he could push his daughter around, he had another thing coming. Yes. We couldn't have done, we wouldn't have got that money, I don't think. It would have been a terrible struggle for us to have found that, actually. The laundry came. The laundry was there by the time we started to build, because the Silchester Baths, which is a Thomas Verity designed, architect designed building, was actually a subject of a public inquiry, because Jenny Williams and Susie Parsons and I gave evidence to the public inquiry about not closing those baths down, and the council did close it, pulled it down. And it was a Victorian building, and the deal was that they had to replace the laundry, the public laundry bit, and so they put it underneath the motorway, and we then attached ourselves onto it. Mm. We could have left a gap. There was a point where they were going to leave a gap, and we said, "No, don't leave a gap. Maybe then parents could bring their children, bring their laundry at the same time," which is exactly what happened, actually, and indeed staff too. And then you drop off your laundry and go to work, and then come out and get your laundry, your child, and go home. But before the laundry, there was nothing. But then there was nothing under the whole of the motorway either. I mean, we were, apart from the veg playground, we were actually one of the first projects.
Yeah, but all the sports facilities that are to the west, didn't come for
years and decades later. But Maxilla was different, because actually it was our idea to have a combined a centre combining day care and education with support services for parents. It wasn't something, you know, we went to the Amenity Trust, as it was called in those days, and said, you know, we can't have the land that we wanted originally, but you know, we want this piece of land because we want, and it's our building. We raise the money. That's what made Maxilla, in terms of the Amenity Trust, very different, which caused about 20 something years of fighting over the lease and the terms of the lease with the Amenity Trust, a battle which we won finally, because it was our building. Mm. Everything else was their building. It was great. It was their idea, or it was the borough's building, wasn't it? The social services buildings.
Yeah.
But this made Maxilla, again, different. Mm. I think we broke a lot of new ground, actually.
Looking back, even more new ground than would have realised at the time, I think, really.
You know, you dealt with an issue, and you dealt with it in the way in which we thought was best for the community. Mm. Without actually realising, I think, that this was very new and groundbreaking. So actually, you know, teachers working throughout the year and from 8 to 6 was groundbreaking, you know. The stuff that we did with the Amenity Trust, actually, and laying claim to the land, I think, you know, because that land was zoned as public open space. And so it's actually the original cost of that was literally three pennies a square metre or something ridiculous, because it was deemed to be valueless, So